Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Lads. Were you watching Hell Week? Because I've been glued to it, and last night was an absolute belter of a show. In studio with me now is a man who emptied the tank on the show for sure. It's Rory O'Connor from Rory Stories. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, a bit all over the shop this morning, but yeah, I'm good.
We've loads to talk about. Loads and loads to talk about, but we have to start with Hell Week. Now, we all know it was filmed a couple of weeks ago, so you're okay, aren't you?
Like, yeah,
you're grand.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all okay. But what a show. I mean, last night's episode was just unreal. It was the end of the road for you, unfortunately. Spoiler alert. Let's have a little listen. And I'm sorry to bring you back to this place, but we have to do it. Have a listen to this.
I knew when I was going to the doctor, I was 98% gone out here. I wanted the doctor to say, don't continue, Rory. Your body's in bits, like I'm telling you now. I wanted to hear that because I didn't, just didn't want it to be a queer. Like.
That really got to me. And I have to ask you, why didn't you want to quit?
Oh, God, you're not doing me any favours here now. Show me that. I've lumped my throat myself. God, it's still hard to digest.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to put into words. Like, I just, like, for me personally, like, I'm never good enough in my own head. Like, I just, it's a mental health issue that I have, and it's, like, I'm working on it, and I probably need a bit of help with it, but it goes back to kind of my school days where I was oh God, you're killing me here now again. Like, I just wasn't good in school, like, and oh Jesus Christ, I'm never using this emotion again. Why did you have me in here? But I,
Rory,
yeah,
do you know what? It's like I said, I had to bring you back to that place because your message is so important to hear, I think. And what you said in the show and the reason why you didn't want to quit is so profound. I think people need to hear it again.
Yeah, so basically, like, when I was growing up, I was bad in school, and I kind of accepted that I was stupid, like, from a young age, because I was a bit dyslexic and stuff like that. And, like, I'm just a big believer in changing the education system, because I just feel that there's too many lost souls like me, like, that kind of just give up on themselves because of the way the school system is. And, you know, like, what happens then, in my opinion, is we turn to drink, drugs and alcohol to silence that voice within us and make ourselves feel better. Like, how many of us all went on rampages on a Friday, Saturday night, getting away from reality, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, depressed off our heads and just living for the weekend? And that's an issue that, like, for me, I was just battling for too long until I just had to ask for help. And I knew I wasn't stupid, and I knew I wasn't useless, but because I tried to be an electrician and I was brutal at that, big Mars bar fingers on me, I couldn't wire. And then I went to work in Quinn Insurance, and anyone who's taken over my claim, still I've an infamous name in there for just closing claims for the crack. I didn't know what I was doing, and then I worked in call centres and hung up on most people because I didn't know what was going on. And I just kept fighting this, and the likes of gambling was something to kind of get my head away from that, and drinking that, until eventually I needed help, and I put my hand in the air, and I got direction off a man called Jerry Cooney from the Rutland Centre about addictive personalities, about how to commute in a positive manner. And he said, like, find something you're interested in. And I always said, well, I've always been good crack. Like, you know, going back to my school days, I'd be the type of student that teachers would laugh while kicking me out of class, going, oh, Rory, get out, you're just whatever. And it's just the personality I have. And then I just looked at myself one day in the mirror and I said, well, just be yourself. And I started making the Rory Story sketches, and they just took off in 2014. And like, yeah.
Could you believe the success of that, though?
Deep in my soul, I knew I was onto something. And this is what I like preaching to people, is when you feel that gut feeling inside you, don't let your brain dictate where you're going to go. Because what the brain is the comfort zone in a human body. Like, and again, I'm not a specialist. I don't have any degree. I don't even have a leaving cert. But it's just life experience that our brain tells us, no, don't do that. Get back into bed, watch Netflix, have a cup of tea, relax. And it's getting out of that comfort zone where the real magic happens. And I believe the gut feeling is screaming at the brain, going, going, you shut up. You let him do what he's meant to do. Let her do what she's meant to do. And once you break that barrier and you see through that, that's when your real ambitions and dreams become reality. And that's when I knew I made the initial steps in, I'm starting Rory Stories. Like, I just felt that this was for me. I'd failed at so many things and I said, right, this. And then it just blew up. And even to this day, like, I still feel that I'm proving to myself every day, even though, like I've, like, geez, I have a million followers online. I've written 3 books. Like, I can't even spell, but I've done 3 successful books and I've done it tours and I've been looking all over the world and all. And like,
do
I don't...
Do you still have that little voice in your head sometimes, like you said, telling you sometimes that you have to battle, telling you that you're not good enough? Is
yeah,
that still
of course.
There?
And like, Jen, like you're successful yourselves. I think everyone does. I think, like, why does Katie Taylor keep going back to the well? Katie has nothing to prove to Irish people, but it's Katie against Katie.
Yeah.
Cristiano Ronaldo, why did he go back to United? Because he's Cristiano Ronaldo. Why did Tiger Woods come back from his massive life problems and win the Masters? Because they're so driven and they have that voice, and only we can see that voice. If I take a step out on my own soul and look in, go, Jesus, man, look what you've done, you're unreal, but I can't see that. And that's the human negativity that we all have to deal with. And that's what came out in the show in me, was I was there and I left my house the morning how we can, I told my wife that, don't be expecting me to come home and be in any shape, because I'm going here to die. Like I'm going here to basically just have no regrets. Like, and that's why I didn't want to hand Ray the armband, because, like, no, I promised you I wasn't going to quit and I don't want to quit, but my body was absolutely exhausted. Like, I had nothing in the tank. I was just, ugh.
Rory, yeah. I would have quit on the bus on the way in.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, how did you do that? It was so amazing what you did. And Ray Goggins, the man himself, a hard man to impress, my God, had this to say about you.
You're a tough bit of stuff, right? You worked hard, right? You helped everyone. You gave 100% all the time. You've nothing to be ashamed of here. You're not as fragile as you think you are.
Yeah.
You're a good man, and you're well able to get stuff done when you're focused, all right?
Thanks.
So take that away with you when you go and build on that for all the other stuff you have to do, all right?
Yeah.
That's why I really wanted to talk to you, because you're a real team player, and you picked other people up when they were down. And that's one thing everybody saw on the show, which was pretty amazing, because it's not easy to do when you're absolutely in bits yourself. I mean, quite incredible. Why did you decide to do the show when they came to you? What did you say, yeah, straight away, or did you have to sit with the wife and have a chat? Or
yeah,
how,
like,
did that happen?
It was a little bit of a law of attraction moment. Myself and my wife have watched the first 2 series, and we're like, oh my God, it's such a good show, and it's so raw and it's so honest, and it's everything that I'm about. Like, it touches into mental health rawness, and I said I'd love to give it a go. And long and behold, last October, a girl called Jen Sorrell from the production emailed me being like, hey Rory, we're doing this, like, celebrity, how would you be interested? And I said to Emma, oh my God, Emma, read that email. And I got such a dose of anxiety being like, I have to do this. And Jen was like, it's either a hell yes or a hell no off people we ask. And I thought about it, and yeah, I just said, yeah, I think I need to do this. I said to my wife, I think I need to go here. And like, you know, I've been on about mental health all my life since I got a platform, Rory Stories, because of my own journey. And I was felt that I needed to do Irish people justice and go. And yes, I have 18 stone and my arse was hanging out with me and my belly was hanging out with me and I was cursing every 10 seconds. I just was so, like, there was no cameras there as far as I was concerned. And everyone would agree, everyone on the show, like, the minute we got there, like, myself and Darren O'Sullivan, we good buddies, and we said that initial 10 minutes when we got off the boat, the Alsatians, squatting on the wall for 5 minutes, that was the most alarm bells in my mind I've ever witnessed in my life. It was like, ew, ew. And I was like, because I remember training really hard with a couple of mates, like mate mine Wayne and Tony, put me through a lot of pain and the hill of tar and that. And I got to a place in my head during them training sessions where I'd never been before, and I said, right, Rory, when you're in Hell Week and you get to this point, you know you've been here, so you know what this feels like. You've been here, Jen, 5 minutes into the show, and I was already in that place where I thought I wouldn't get to for 3 or 4 days. That's how insane it was. I was like, oh my God, Rory, what
and
the hell?
It's constant.
It's constant. Like, like people, I know, like all the people on the show, only we know what we went through. People just don't get it. There was no off switch. There was relentless. Like when we, like we went, say, like we went from scratch, say, from scratch straight to Missing Head. We had a pot noodle on as a reward, which was lukewarm water, which was crunchy. It was disgusting. It gave me the worst heartburn ever. And that was a reward. We were on a bus where the aircon was blasting, so we couldn't sleep. Got to Missing Head. Yeah, just fall off Missing Head Bridge there. Yeah, just drag your 18 stone arse up the cliff there. Then go home, put your bar over your head for an hour, eat some sloppy food, and then go in, myself and Niamh Cullen, into this 300 degrees burning house, and the pair of us, like dumb and dumber, looking at each other going, Niamh, I haven't a clue what's going on here. And Niamh was laughing. I went to try and suck my straw, thinking I had water on me, had nothing on me, and the heat was unbearable. Yeah. And the DSs
but
were
it's
shouting.
Not, it's not. This is a mental challenge, really, isn't it? I mean, it's very physical. It looks very physical, but it's all about what's going on in your head. And it's a real test of that, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I remember Ray said very clearly on the first few hours, he said that, you know, the fitness person is not going to, like, it's after today, yous are all on the same level. So, like, say, like Peter Stringer, Mark O'Neill, like Laura, yeah, all these phenomenally fit human beings who are way out of my league. But I knew that I had the head. Like, I knew, I said to myself, they haven't been to dungeons I've been in my own head. Like, and like as Denzel Washington says, if you can tame the devil within, the devil outside can do no harm. And I have an awful devil inside me, like, that I struggle to deal with. So I was thinking, going, these are all animals here. They're so fit and strong, but they haven't been to the low place where I've been to. So when the going gets tough, I've wrestled with the devil already. And I knew how to handle him. Like, and I knew that wasn't going to beat me. Like, I was like, yeah, here you are, you're telling me useless, but I've heard this before, and I'm gonna just go at you again. And I kept doing that till eventually just the body was like, poof, just gave up. Yeah, I was done. Like,
for people who haven't heard this on one of your stories, how would you sum up 2013 and what happened to you?
Out straight, it was get busy living or get busy dying. Like, that's the best way I can describe it. Is the suicidal thoughts were in my head. I felt like I was in a dead end job. I was barely able to pay the rent. I had a young child. I just felt I was 25, 26. A lot of my friends had their apprenticeships. They had a good degree. They were doing well, and I was just, yeah, he's great crack, but he's useless. Like, that's what I kept telling myself. And suicide has affected my family. Like, you know, I'd had a relation that unfortunately we lost, and a few other people I knew, and I didn't want to be them. Like, I seen the devastating effect it had on our family. And I often say to people that are under pressure, is like, if you could walk into your funeral and look around you, you wouldn't take your life. Like, and that's what when that devil is really gripping you by the Adam's apple, or squeezing your throat saying die, you have to just realise that, like, what the ripple effect. You throw a pebble into a water, it's just, that's what you're going to do to everyone that knows. And for me, you just need to put the hand in the air and say, I can't do that. And it's so difficult, and I know it's so hard to put your hand in the air and say, I need help here, I'm really struggling. And once you do that, people are there for you, and things, listen, not every day is going to be sunshine and rainbows, but you will eventually, yeah. me and Ray gone so well, as Ray says, you know, you level with the demons, you understand the black dog will be there every now and again. He's going to be in your ear. Oh, here's this fucking dog again at me, telling me I'm useless. But yeah, how are you, doggy? Yeah, yeah, right. And then eventually the doggy goes, and you feel great, and you feel the sun is shining on you again. And that's my life. It's up and down, and it's going to continue like that.
How long did it take you to master that? You said you asked for help. You went through a very dark time in 2013. You know, does it get easier, you know, to master and to deal with that, those thoughts and those, not those thoughts, but, you know, the thoughts of not feeling good enough? Because, right, you're so successful, you affect so many people in a positive way. But it's interesting to hear, sometimes you hear that little voice. Do you get better? Do you have the tools to cope with that now, would you say?
Yeah, I am good at it. Like it's little, it goes back to, like, your point. So for me, it's just get off social media for a couple of days. You don't need to hear anything good or bad, just get off it. Ring a few people you haven't spoken in a while. Not necessarily to say you're in a low place, just for them to
connection.
Talk to you. A connection. Just say, yeah, do you remember time in school? Oh yeah, and a laugh. and have your comfort food. Go for a jog, go for a walk, just turn on your favourite film. Just little things that will, that gives you a bit of TLC.
Joy.
Just a little bit of TLC for yourself, which we're terrible at, especially Irish people. We're always get a kick in the hole and get on with it. No, that's not the way it is. Like, and we need to scrap that otherwise we're gonna like I worry for the young generation. Like, I'm very lucky, and we are, that we grew up with just about handing around snake to each other and the side of the shops. That's as much as we got with technology, and I'm very thankful for that, because now it's all about being better than this person, being as good. Like, the only way you're going to be happy is being yourself. And that's what I had to learn the hard way, is looking into the mirror going, yes, not everyone likes me, and that's fine, I can accept that. Because, like, you know, you have to just be yourself. It's the only way you're going to get happy. But it's very difficult to be yourself in the current world we live in, because of the pressure of mainly social media.
You came off it for a while, didn't you? Was it April you came off social media?
Yeah. Well, that was kind of like my... See, probably people don't really know this, and I don't like to bring it up. Well, like, my wife was in hospital with COVID a month before Hell Week, and I had COVID, and my little baby Lucy had it. And that was a horrific 8 days. Like, I was at home with my young children, and like my mum and dad couldn't really even help us, like, and that's the effect of COVID, like, and oh god, like, talk about mental strength, that was the ultimate. Like, I remember,
really?
Yeah, I remember getting like getting a voice message off my wife in Blanche Hospital, and she was so out of breath, like, she was like, and my 8-year-old was looking at me going, is that mommy? And I had to leave the room, like, I couldn't let her listen. And, like, you're hearing the people dying with COVID, and it was crossing my mind, and I was like, holy shit, like, what if she dies? Like, and it was horrendous, like, and when she came home from hospital, and it was great, and I got over COVID, and I couldn't train for 2 or 3 weeks, and then I only had 3 weeks prepared then for the show, and you know, I just gave it everything I could, and I left the house saying to Emma, well, Emma, you're okay, the kids are okay, we have a roof, I've nothing to worry about, and that's why I probably got the best on myself. But like, yeah, then that time, like, back in April was horrendous, like, it really, like, and anyone, like, who probably was touched by COVID and the negative side of it, like, It's scary when it's on your doorstep, like an ambulance pulling up to the house, like, and me having to let my wife go off, and me and the 3 kids just there going, fuck, like, what if this woman passes away? Like, do you know what?
How is she now?
She's a lot better now, yeah. Like, I think there's a little bit of long COVID there, like a bit of random days, are very tired, but in general, she's okay, but she's such a strong woman, like, she'd have to be to deal with me, like, yeah. You know what I mean? But, so that's again, when I was in Hell Week, I thought of the kitchen, like, holding the baby with COVID and me with COVID going, Rory, this isn't hard, like, get on with it. Like, you know, that crossed my mind a few times, saying, like, this is a game, like, this is a show, like, where this wasn't a game in my kitchen, like, when my wife was in hospital, like, it was far from a game. And my poor mother ringing me, nearly crying, saying she can't help me because she didn't want her to get COVID. So it was tough, like, you know, it was hard, and it was, but it made me stronger for Hell Week, you know what I mean? And as Goggins said to me, he said, Jesus, like, this is going to be like a spa weekend for you.
Stop!
After that, you know, but was tough, like.
I just want to go to our text machine because the people are getting in touch with the show on 51552, all for you, my friend. I'll listen to Rory with tears in my eyes. What a wonderful, inspiring man he is. I met him in August in a playground in Kinsale with his lovely wife and his 3 kids, and they're just a gorgeous family. I was lucky to have a very positive school and education experience in Ireland, but he is one of so many that didn't, and his voice needs to be heard to ensure every single individual gets a fair chance. Well done, Rory. Rory, chin up, man. You help so many people, this texter says. You're a real ambassador for Ireland. You should be very proud of yourself, lad, that texter says. Please tell Rory. There's so many. Please tell Rory he's the most honest person I've ever come across. Every time I hear him be so honest, it actually makes me cry. He is so genuine. Fair play to him for being so honest. He is a credit to himself. Hi, Jen. Rory was an absolute diamond. Well done. You were amazing. And don't ever be embarrassed. My brother texts me on my phone. I love Rory. He's so honest and hardworking and very, very true. They keep coming in for you. That's why it's, I mean, do you get that? I mean, you're with your social, do you get that positive response when you open up?
Yeah, like, do you know the way I look at it, Jen? Very simple. Is like, isn't it terrible the world we live in that I'm getting so much praise for being honest?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
that just shows where we are as humans, that everyone is thinking I'm great just because I'm saying out straight what I'm thinking and what my heart is thinking. And I appreciate everything and all, but I don't understand what makes me so important, because I'm just being honest. And I just, if anything, other people should just say, fuck it, why don't I be honest? And I know being honest is the hardest thing we can do in this world, but we need more of it, because we're all at the end of the day, we're generations. We have to make sure the generation coming through are we have to set the bar, no offense to our parents or their generation, they were very much narrow minded when it came to this, and I respect, and that's the way they are, but I think we have to evolve.
But
that's their story,
came from their parents, on, kick up the arse, get on with it, don't talk about it, get to work, move on quickly. And you said some very important things and very relatable things that you don't hear very often. I mean, it, for anyone who's relating to what you're saying, it's so, so important to ask for help. But you said something there that kind of struck me. Just the little bits of TLC for yourself are so important, aren't they? Anything that brings you joy, laughter, that movie, picking up a phone and chatting to a friend or family member that you haven't spoken to in a while, doesn't have to be about mental health, it just be a conversation. Just those little things, because they're easy to do for everyone, Rory, aren't they? And I don't think we say that enough, you know?
It's funny common sense is not that common, this is simple tips. If you have a sore ankle, you put it up, you put ice in it. If you have a bad cut, you put a plaster on it. If your head is sore, give your head a bit of treatment, do you know what I mean? Give it the food it wants, I preached about this a lot during lockdown, the whole dry January, would you get over it this year or the year before? I was good luck to you. There's times where you don't have to just do whatever makes you happy. And what makes me happy and you happy could be completely different, but do whatever makes you happy. And who cares what people think? You just do it, because life goes very quickly, and you don't want to be miserable. It's too short to be miserable. So just look at the positives and just say, right, okay, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to attack this. And if I fail, I fail. And young people need to understand that, failing is okay. Failing, you only failed when you quit. If you spend your whole life chasing one destiny and you die in your coffin at 90 and you're a million miles away from it, but you weren't a quitter. You didn't give up. You only fail when you stop chasing your goals,
Lots of listeners are getting in touch about how inspiring you are to them, and you're about to do something else pretty inspiring. Can you tell us about your involvement with the annual Shine a Light Night? It's happening next Friday, is that right?
Yeah, so the Focus Ireland Shine a Light campaign that is supported by Bord Gáis are basically, we're asking people to sleep out in their back garden, front garden, wherever they can, just to show solidarity with the homeless, because there's over 8,000 people homeless in the country at the minute. I think there's over 2,000 children and all, and I have three kids, and see, the reason I'm involved is because people often look at homelessness as stereotypical, people who struggle with drugs, people who got into crime, but it's not. The world, especially Ireland now, with the lack of housing and the price of rent, there's a normal hard working family that are in emergency accommodation, and that's tough. That's very tough for the morale of the mother and father dressing their kids in a hotel room and sending them off to school, and these are hard working people they're going off, but it's just so difficult to get affordable rent or to even buy a house. Our generation are being so unfortunately done in with buying a house. I know that myself. We had to move in with my parents for nearly the guts of a year there during the pandemic. It was cosy, put it that way, but we had to move in because we didn't have enough money saved for a deposit for a house. We'd nowhere to rent, there was nowhere affordable, and the landlord had to sell his house. We'd no choice but to move in with my parents. And I suppose my point of view is, if we didn't have my parents, we could have been in a hotel. Now I think I have relations and all that would look after, but that's the thin line. So that's why I'm getting behind it, because I want to show the voice, say, listen, it's normal class people that are ending up homeless the way the country is. So just to please get behind it. We're looking to raise 1.5 million towards it, and it's nice and mild at the minute. Hopefully it stays like that till next week. And just out in the back garden, it's one night. That's all. And throw a few bob towards
it. Focus website if they want to donate.
Yeah, folks on the website, donate what you can, because like it is massive like for a lot of people. And like that, yeah, just try your best to sleep out. I am, and I'm looking to get Ella, my little daughter, out for as long as I can out the back garden and see how it goes on. So yeah, we're just looking for a lot of support for that.
For further information, sign up to participate in Shine a Light 2021. You can go to shinealight.focusireland.ie. Rory O'Connor, you're an absolute gent. The texts are still coming in. Thanks so much for being with us on the show. You're an absolute star, and I wish you and your family and your wife and everybody the very best of luck. And I just want to mention to you guys, if you've been affected by our chat, remember, there is always help, isn't there, Rory? There is help out there in the form of the Samaritans. They're available 24/7. 116 123. We'll be right back.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.